B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In and around that June 1 date, teams are expecting the NBA to tell them that they can start to recall their players into their cities and essentially tell them, come on back to work, guys. Quarantine here, then start moving toward a training camp, you know, as a prelude to resuming the season and trying to crown a champion in the NBA this season.
Adrian Wojnarowski. Yahoo. Oh, whoa. No, sorry. ESPN. I'm so used to saying Yahoo, even to this day. It's just built in. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Four-letter network, Woj. With that on the NBA. It looks like June 1st is going to be the magical date for a lot of sports. June 1st. Things will expand on June 1st. More workouts will be allowed in team facilities June 1st. Keith Smith has this as well on Twitter. Walt Disney World has begun the early stages of reworking some of their hotel spaces for housing the NBA and their needs. The Wide World of Sports Complex has also had some work done in anticipation of hosting the NBA and also possibly MLS per Disney sources. How about that? Disney sources. Mm-hmm. Got guys on the inside at Disney. That's what he's got on that. And also apparently he checked on one of the hotels there. I don't know. I'm not a big Disney guy. There's
Dolphin.
You know,
do the Dolphin.
It's not the Dolphin. There's a specific name. I forget which hotel it is.
Well, this is separate because this is ABC's Wide World of Sports. This is way, way away from where the park is.
So there's one particular hotel that they have blocked out. You can't make a reservation.
Coronado Springs.
Yes,
Coronado Springs. Thank you, Hardy.
Coronado Springs is the place that they are not taking reservations.
Look how nice it looks, though. Wow.
And you know these Disney people. You know the type. You know, they obsess over it. They go there multiple times a year. They blog about it. They're all about Disney.
Here's my question. What are you going to eat there? Like, are you going to have the good Disney food, or are they going to bring in their own?
I'm going to assume that if Disney World is hosting the NBA, that they will make accommodations for food service through Disney.
Mm. Disney puts on some good feed.
Disney makes good food?
Oh, my God. The Cape May, all-you-can-eat bar inside the boat, which one is it? It's not the yacht club.
All-you-can-eat bar, like you just drink as much as you want?
No. They have the big Alaskan king crab legs. They have lobsters. They have prime rib. All-you-can-eat Cape May buffet.
Oh.
It's at the boat club.
So you have nothing to be concerned about for them then?
Nope, nothing.
They've got good food there.
Oh, they got great food.
I was afraid they would go down there and they would just have MREs. You know, they would have a bunch of just stuff in storage.
Yeah, you know, I was concerned, you know, when the NBA said, we're going to bring all of our world-class athletes to a league, a facility that is sort of tied into the league and that Disney and ESPN have the same parent company, and they're one of our strong media partners. I was fearful that they would go there and they would have terrible accommodations. I was.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious. I'm sure part of the draw is that they know Disney will do it right for these guys.
Right.
Disney does everything right. I mean, that's what the sort of the mystique of Disney is, that you can't find a piece of trash on the ground there, you know, because there's 400 people in disguise picking up any piece of litter on the ground. So, no, I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. They'll have a great experience there. They'll have great accommodations. They'll have great catering. They'll have, you know, some room to spread out. They'll have all of it there. From the very beginning, I've been to Disney once. It seems like the perfect place for something like this.
It's Happy Land. It really is.
So I think it makes a lot of sense. I think from the beginning of hearing this, I thought, well, that could really work for them. You know, it's not like you're It's not like you're trapped in one hotel with one building to go to. You know, you have some ability to move around and move about, and you've probably got a way to bring some families down there too, and I think they can make this work. This was the one, and I wouldn't even call it a bubble, but this is the one central location plan that I think sounded reasonable and attractive to the players, because it's all under one umbrella, all under one roof, and they've started reworking the hotel space to accommodate the players. So does that mean it's definitely happening when you hear these things?
I mean, no, not until we know for sure, and not until there's going to be an announcement. But I think there's going to be an announcement like that, Beetle, and I think we're going to get it from one or more of the leagues where, you know, we hear rumblings and we hear talks in Coronado Springs and Disney, or you hear about the NHL and their 8 or 9 hub cities, and we're getting these trickles and just little reports of information and meetings and conversations. I think we're going to get hit with a bomb one of these days.
Isn't it just like what we heard yesterday with the NHL, Hardy? I know you just mentioned the NHL, but in that, from 1 week ago until now, didn't they all of a sudden sneak up on us with a lot more positive news? Right?
Yeah.
So but it leads you to believe there's more going on behind the scenes that they're not letting people know about.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
And to that end, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we don't know about at all, and I think a plan is going to get formulated, and it's just going to drop. It's not going to be this slow trickle of information with stuff leaking out. You might have a leak out, you know, for a couple of reports. You know, pick Darren Drager from the NHL, or Woj might get it in the NBA, but it's going to come as a surprise and a shock to most people when it does come out. And whereas before, and I part of me still wants to say it's too crazy to think you're going to be able to move all the teams anywhere, whether it's, you know, to a hub city for the NHL or to Disney World for the NBA. This Disney World NBA thing seems to have a lot of traction, and they've got the facilities, apparently. I mean, the ESPN World or whatever the hell they do down there, they already host basketball tournaments down there, whether it's for AAU. Zoe, I'm surprised you haven't been down there, you know, with one of your kids for...
Not good enough. This is the higher ones. These are sponsored teams.
Okay.
These are the ones with the matching uniforms.
I'm sure
Nike deals.
I'm sure your kids are fine athletes, and they would be good enough.
6'1" guard girls that are born down in the South, and they can dribble between their legs. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay.
I like how that's the litmus test. Can you dribble between your legs?
Were you born north or south of the Mason-Dixon line? Down south?
Enough.
Ah, you're going to that big tourney then.
Don't go down. Don't go south. We went to one in Virginia Beach, mistakenly, one of the ugliest places to go to. And halftime score was 44-4. And I look at the coach and I said, are you having fun yet? Are they learning a lot with our four-day stay at the hotel? And then, the flight to come down and then the money to feed them all? Are your girls having fun right now? Because this is our last one. Yeah. Money racket.
More in the NBA coming up. Is Jason Tatum the next best player in the NBA? There's one prominent NBA voice who believes that is true. You will hear from him next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm just a huge Jason Tatum fan. He's about 3 inches taller than 2 to 3 inches taller than Luka Doncic. He's clearly a much better defender. He's averaging nearly 20 points on nearly 45% shooting and nearly 40% shooting from 3-point range, which is considerably better than the 3-point shooting of Luka. We like to see those step back threes that he has hit. But nevertheless, he doesn't shoot with the degree of accuracy that that Jason Tatum shoots with from long range. And I just look at Jason Tatum and what he's asked to do and how he's just 22 years of age. Just 22. He's got a handle. He's got a shot. He can go to the hole. He can finish at the basket. Plus, he can defend. I love what I see from Zion. I love what I see from Luka. Both of those candidates clearly have the potential. But I got news for you. It would be a mistake to omit Jason Tatum from this conversation. He is right there, and he could overtake anybody. He's got that kind of skill, that kind of length, that kind of athleticism, that kind of defensive prowess as well. He's got the package, man. He's something special.
That is high praise from Stephen A. Smith for Jason Tatum, believing he could become the NBA's best player. I mean, I think we'd all say we believe Jason Tatum has a very high ceiling and could end up being a lot better than he is now. Can you imagine him being the best player in the league? Is that within reach for him?
At some point, maybe, if he hones his skills. Seriously.
I just think of the guys that are going to be ahead of him that are going to be really hard to overcome as being one of the best.
See this, okay, and
whether
this is
Giannis,
Leonard, it's Kawhi, it's Giannis, and I think of him as more of like, just in terms of body type and what he's capable of. Kevin Durant, he's more like Kevin Durant than he is Giannis or Kawhi, right?
Agreed.
And Kevin Durant for, you know, a spell, looked like the best player in the league. He looked like the best player in the league the last time the Warriors won it all. But it was fleeting, and not just because of the injury. You know, you watch a guy like Giannis come along, or you watch what Kawhi Leonard did in the finals. Was it the next year or 2 years later? I don't know. Doesn't matter. There's something about that larger, more powerfully built, physical NBA player that lends itself more to the, now that guy could be a dominant best player in the league. I don't get the same sense in terms of skill. It's Tatum. I think Tatum's got skills that are better than, I think Giannis and even at times, you know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, just in terms of, you know, what he can do with finesse and is.
Well, how about as the defender?
I don't pay attention to defense. I don't know.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think of him as a defender?
I don't know.
I think he's okay, but I mean, I don't think he's the best defender in the league. But like Giannis.
But how much does that factor in? How much does that factor in when you're talking about the best player in the league? How many times
and he's knocking balls into the stands a little bit?
How many times has the best defender in the league also been what Jordan. you would call the best player in the league? Jordan?
Jordan?
No.
Jordan could defend.
He could, but he wasn't the best. He wasn't the best defender. But, hell, he wasn't the best defender on his team.
Well, it's Rodman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't call him the best defender in the league.
Right.
It's like saying Dave Grohl's the best guitarist in rock and roll music. Hell, Dave Grohl's the best guitarist in Foo Fighters. Stop it with that.
Artie, did you see the thing with Dave Grohl when he pulled the guy with the Kiss face up on stage?
Yes. Oh, I've seen it. It's fantastic.
And he gave him the guitar and he said, go ahead and jam. And the guy totally jammed out.
As T-Bone just whispered in my ear, the winner of the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year the last 2 years has been Rudy Gobert. The only time that I can think where
the guy
is in the conversation as one of the best, again, not the like definitive best player in the league, but a top five type of player in the league. The times I can think that has happened is Kevin Garnett won that award once when he was with the Celtics. The first year with the Celtics, he won that award. Yep. And Kawhi has won that award, I think, multiple times. When he was with the Spurs. And so, I mean...
Yeah, that's right.
Kawhi has won that. And Dwight Howard used to win that award, but I would never consider Dwight Howard as the best player in the league. He was good.
And I never talked about Kawhi Leonard being the best player in the league in any of the years he was with the Spurs. I mean, he was a top player for sure, but he wasn't in the conversation until they won the championship in Toronto. Not for me. You know, this is my very... Right. Limited scope view of the NBA, you know, And I've been told by enough people, either on this show or when I'm reading the basketball experts, I just don't understand the game. It all started when I couldn't see the genius of Al Horford night after night. You just don't understand the game. Okay, I don't understand the game. But I know this, when most times when we're having the conversation about the best player in the league, it ain't because of their defense.
Right.
That's not what blows people's skirts up.
We've gone a little bit down a separate road, but still, with that aside,
yes.
I just see like it being a hard road for him to be considered, the unquestioned or consensus best player in the league. I think that's going to be a hard road for him, but I don't care. What does that matter if he's considered the best player? I think he has the potential to be a top 10 player in this league for a while. And I think we saw the unfortunate part of this for him is that he was really, I think, starting to break out. And then this hit.
Yeah.
And the season stopped, which is unfortunate.
He's hitting his groove, man.
I think it would be the best thing for him and for the Celtics if he never really gets – close to achieving that status where it's, for a while there was the conversation, is it LeBron or is it Kobe? We would have that conversation. I would love for Jason Tatum to remain out of that conversation. Absolutely. You can't deny that he's, at some point going to, or it looks like he's going to ascend to a solid top 10 guy or maybe even a top 5 guy, but keep him out of that best conversation because it keeps
it
a chip
individual. You
keeps a
team.
Chip on his shoulder, right?
Yes.
By all means, go out there, continue to prove yourself night in, night out. And for the Celtics, by all means, let's keep these guys hungry a little bit. And I think it could work to your advantage.
Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports, as we mentioned, had some Disney sources. I think maybe we've got some Disney sources of our own. Adam's in Florida. Hi, Adam.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Good. So I actually work at the Polynesian. I'm a guest experience manager.
My favorite hotel I went to when I was a kid.
Yeah, so you had mentioned the Dolphin. I actually used to be a server at Don Shula's Steakhouse there. It's pretty nice joint.
That's awesome.
What can you tell us about the NBA possibly coming to Disney?
Well, as a front desk guy, they don't really keep me in the loop too much with that stuff. But
so you just wanted to call us and let you know you work at the Polynesian.
No, I mean, I'm not a big NBA guy, but I feel like you guys said the infrastructure is pretty great here. I mean, ESPN's not too far from all the resorts, and in normal times, like, there's great transportation.
I have some
Adam, I would say Keith Smith's sources are probably better than ours, but thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Did you hang up on him?
He doesn't know, and he doesn't like the NBA.
So the thanks for contributing.
The big problem with the Polynesian, they didn't have one of those gift shops there. Like, okay, hey, you wake up early in the morning, you want to go play on the beach with your dad, play catch. So my dad and I had to go up to a orange juice machine in the hallway. And Hardy, you might remember this. Beetle won't because it predates him. The Tropicana orange juice was served in a actual round plastic cup with a cap on top.
Oh, my God.
And it was orange juice. You had to poke a straw on the top, and it would come down. So my foil. Dad and I would drink it, and then we would fill the middle of it with sand, take it out on the beach, and that would be our ball we would play catch with.
Ken is in Lowell with an update on his health. Ken, how are you, sir?
What's going on, boys? How you doing, Dole, Beetle, right. Hattie? How's
good to hear
going?
From you.
Ken, you sound great.
I'm doing well. I beat the living crap out of that thing.
Hell yeah, you did.
Like what Hagler did to Hearns in the third round back in 85.
Love it. Nice reference.
And how you guys doing mentally?
I think we're hanging in there. We're doing okay, Ken.
Ken, scale 1 to 10, 10 being the best. How do you think I'm handling it mentally?
I'll be the judge of that. Let me ask you something, Zoe. Who's the center field? Who played center field for the 75 Red Sox?
I could care less, Ken. Go ahead. Give me another question.
All right,
Ken. How about this? We want to know more about your...
Houston, we have a problem here.
Hey, Ken, I got here in 1991.
The 75 Red Sox, Freddie Lynn. Come on, man. MVP, Rookie of the Year.
I'll give you the starting lineups of the Pittsburgh Pirates, buddy. Hey, Ken,
we want to know more about you.
Ken, you want to play grab-ass baseball here. Who was the sidearm pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the day? Tall, lanky kid, wore glasses.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, the submarine-style pitcher?
Yep.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, hold on. Give me a minute. Let me go on to beat off.
No, I'm going to come back to that, though. Kent the Colby, baby. Kent the Colby.
Ah, yes. I was going to say that.
No, you weren't.
So, Ken, did you require any hospitalization to beat the coronavirus, or you did that at home?
No, well, I did it in self-lockdown. But
that was after you got off the forklift.
I have to say that the alcohol helped a little bit, but I don't recommend it. Don't be drinking bleach, all right?
Yeah, well.
But I think I got so much alcohol in my system that there's no bacteria that can survive in my blood.
Have you gone to a doctor? Are you still in the shedding process that you know of, Ken? Have you tested negative now? No. What's your status?
I don't know, Hottie. I really don't. I tested positive twice, and it's been way more than 14 days. So, and I'm still here, and now I'm just concerned about my mental health. That's all.
Well, how is your mental health?
What's the matter with your mental health?
I don't know, but I got ancillary issues going on. In other words, I haven't worked for 3 months. I'm 1 month behind on rent.
You need summer job, Ken. Ken, you need summer job.
I got an $8 credit at the liquor store. What else? And I found out that I'm not getting that coronavirus check or whatever it's
called.
Why
not? How come you're not getting the check?
Because I don't get SSDI or Social Security or anything like that. All right? And I didn't file taxes last year because I don't work on the books. I work under the table. All right? Hey, Hottie. Okay.
Yeah.
It's good to hear you back on the radio with the 98.5. The Sports Hub Golf Club thing.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ken.
I heard it.
Ken.
I got a couple of questions about that, but that's another day.
Okay, but seriously, Ken, if you need something, you've got my number for when you helped us out with the Christmas song a couple of years ago. You reach out. We'll talk about it, all right? If you need help with anything.
All right.
Okay.
But I want to
Ken, I'll hook
you
up with liquor, man.
All right, Ken. All right.
I'll hook him up with all the liquor he needs.
Well, he's got an $8 credit at the store. I'm wondering if he returned something to get the credit.
I don't know.
You might be able to buy a tall boy.
Like, how do you get a credit? Usually that's, merchandise being brought back. Ah, we can't give you your money back, but we'll give you a credit. All right,
Ken's got ancillary issues.
He does.
Using his terminology,
yeah.
I'm going to look it up, but it doesn't sound good.
Hey, college football can start working out on June 1st, and Ohio State's got a plan for their stadium. Some college football updates on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You play in a stadium called the Big House. It's one of the most famous football stadiums in the world, holds 100,000 people. Would you be comfortable playing games in front of no fans if that's what it comes to? Where do you stand on the idea of playing games if the fans can't be in the stadiums?
Well, there you go, right? I mean, you could definitely test both teams. You could test the officials and everybody. Can you test 100,000 fans coming into a stadium? Probably not. That's probably not without a vaccine. You probably couldn't do that. So, yeah, to answer your question, heck yeah, I'd be comfortable coaching a game without any fans. If the choice were play or in front of no fans or not play, then I would choose play. In front of no fans. And I think most of the darn near every guy I've talked to on our team, that's the way they feel about it.
John Harbaugh talking to ESPN. Oh, did I say John? I meant Jim. Obviously, Jim. For obvious reasons. Jim Harbaugh.
By the way, just speaking of
Jim Harbaugh of Michigan.
Yes. Speaking of Jim, just so you guys know, Spiller is back behind the board now.
Who's that?
We're calling him Spiller? Why Spiller. Are we calling him that?
CJ Spiller. Corporate Jim.
Corporate Jim.
Come on.
I don't even understand that.
He was off at he had a corporate meeting for like the it was only like the last hour and hour and 40 minutes. So now he's back. Now he's back. Quote unquote. CJ is back producing the show.
I heard Ken's call.
Hardy, when corporate Jim walks down the hallway and you see him go downstairs because they have those meeting rooms downstairs, does he carry a little 8x10 legal notebook with him with his?
No, you know what? It's weird. He bought himself a Palm Pilot. Which I didn't even know they still made, but he has a stylus.
You know what he did? He went to Ocean State Job Lot because that's the only place that still sells like six middle mini pilots that you could buy.
It's
in
attached
a package.
By that little string, so it doesn't fall off.
He's got a brother address, an electronic address book that he carries around with him, and a P-Touch label maker.
Jim has one of those stamp makers where you put it, you know, you have to have it stamped, and then he has a little ink pad and he stamps his envelopes with them.
That is, again, Jim Harbaugh talking about playing without fans at Michigan because without a vaccine, he's saying it's probably hard to be able to get everyone into the stadium. Ohio State has started to come up with a social distancing concept to play their football games with about one-fifth of the crowd being allowed into the stadium. I know we've spoken about these ideas before on the show, but athletic director Gene Smith made that announcement during a conference call with the media yesterday, saying, "We know that will probably take us down south of 30,000 fans in the stadium, actually closer to 20 or 22,000. We've played with that a little bit as a framework to start." So as far as college football goes, they want to play. The athletic directors, the schools, the conferences, they all are motivated by their paychecks, and they don't want that to go away. They've been on that gravy train for decades. Don't want to disrupt that thing.
Yeah.
So they are going to, you know, do everything they can to try and get college football back and play games, which I have no problem with. Like, if you have players that want to play and understand all of the risks involved, and you're going to find a way to provide testing and provide things to the players, then great. I would not be saying things like that jackass Mike Gundy said last week when he said, "Oh, all these guys are young and they'll be great. If they get it, no problem. It'll be good and we need our revenue." Like, what an ass that guy is, you a-hole. Like, no, they should just get it. Okay.
Yeah, even if you think that, and
don't
even
say it.
Even if it may be true, don't say it. You dummy. Don't say everyone, yeah, just come on down and get the Rona. No, no, that's a bad PR there. Don't talk about all your players getting the
young
Rona.
Young strapping men, they can get that and fight it off in no time.
Maybe,
like,
maybe. I think oh, maybe you're geez. Right. I wouldn't say it. I would not say that out loud.
So, and by the way, I do know that there are like medical ethicists who have now said maybe we should consider letting younger people get it. I'm not going down that road today, but he sounded like an a-hole when he said what he said last week because he attached it directly to we need our revenues. So I don't care what happens to them. They'll be fine. We need our money. I need my millions as a head coach at a D1 school. The athletic director needs his. The guy running the conference needs his. It's like they're like baseball players.
Yeah, they're like Blake
guys
Snell.
That run collegiate athletics. They're like baseball players. F you, pay me. Those are the people running collegiate athletics.
Well, they
anyway.
Got to get theirs too.
Yeah, I got to get mine.
That's right.
So I don't care what happens to you. You better just go out and play. So anyway, Ohio State is now tinkering with a plan to get fans in the building because I've read about these major universities that the gate to them is a major part of their revenue that is theirs, and they're keeping all of it. They're not splitting up a TV contract. They split up a TV contract. They don't split up their gate. It's one of the ways you can get an advantage, whether you're playing at the Big House or you're playing at Ohio State or any other major stadium. They want to get their fans in there because they need the money from the tickets. They bank on this money. And so now they're going to go to a plan, Hardy, which I know you disagree with, which is, hey, we'll take 20,000 fans if we can get them. We'll spread them out. We'll put the 20,000 into the stadium.
I just
don't think that works. You're still going to have everyone showing up at the same time and leaving at the same time, and you're going to be crowding them around. And how do you
won't
tell?
Be too loud.
Well, yeah, oh, exactly, Zoe. Thank you. You know, don't be shouting, because that, you know, that spreads the molecules and the virus even further. And just because you've had.
What if we get thundersticks and they could slap thundersticks together to blow up thundersticks and they could make noise that way?
Yeah, that's as long as you don't share thundersticks, I suppose you'd be all right. But
save that if you don't mind. Someone.
That's where you share it.
Don't want to share thundersticks.
But seriously. Okay, so me and the wife, we've had season tickets, you know, for. Yeah. Michigan football for 20 years because we're douchebags and we're communists and we hate kids, whatever. Okay. And now all of a sudden,
same thing playing out over at the Heights, by the way.
Yeah. See. Right. And so 20, and now it's okay. You're among the select few. Then go back into the big house morons. Here. But now you have to sit 6 feet apart because that's part of the guidelines. What? Yeah. What are you talking about?
No.
Like the amount of work that would have to go in to separating people, but not everybody.
Hey,
you know.
Without being told, without naming names or the school and all that, but I'm close to someone that was told, get ready for June 1st to be the day to start working out and getting back.
Well, June 1st, it's been announced. It was announced yesterday. We mentioned that earlier, this magic date of June 1st.
Everybody's scrambling now and to get plans, and they're getting ready. They're getting ready, and they're getting together.
Yeah, that's not a hidden thing anymore. June 1st has now been announced as the date that college football teams can go back and start working out.
A little panic for some people that haven't been doing anything.
Oh, really? Oh, so the team
time
is going
to
suck again this year.
Time to get outside and throw. Oh, boy, have we been throwing a lot.
Well, what if you've been throwing to, like, a 10-year-old across the yard? Does that count?
No, we haven't been doing that. Yesterday we did over the house.
Is bribing the 10-year-old with ice cream against NCAA violations?
No. We did over the house yesterday, and it was working. We were just playing catch over the house.
I don't know who you're talking about. These are all just hypotheticals.
Hypotheticals.
You know, if you were housing a collegiate athlete for the last two, 3 months, though, I'm not saying you have been. I'm just
but
saying,
if you were,
you know,
I'm here to help any program.
Having a catch with your young son in the backyard does not constitute staying with the program. Is
correct.
That what you're saying? Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, we will be assembling today with high school kids on a field. Yes.
Distance. Keep your distance.
We're running routes.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Route. Yeah. They're 20 yards away. That's distance.
Well, the good news is,
give me a slant route.
The good news is today the CDC has said within the last 24 hours that they're finding that the coronavirus does not spread easily on surfaces. So all of our panic about surfaces may not be necessary.
Shocker, huh? Mask, no mask. No surface.
Well, masks, yes.
Oh, the no mask thing in the beginning was clearly to avoid people buying them because they knew we were screwed on the mask front. I mean, that's what that was about. It was far more important that the people in hospitals were able to get the biggest share of them early on.
But isn't the and Beetle, not to yeah. You know, go full corona here for, but it's my understanding that the masks are mostly so that you don't spread it.
Yes, it works. The masks work as a group thing. So if everyone's wearing them, it's effective.
It
if everyone's not wearing them, it's not as effective.
If someone,
right,
if you're in a room with five people with coronavirus and you're wearing a mask, you're screwed.
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Okay. But if I have corona and I go into a room.
It will help some,
luck.
But it won't.
Right.
If you're going to sit there for a period of time, my guess is you are eventually going to get it. You're screwed.
But if I'm shedding coronavirus and I go into a room with five people and none of them are wearing masks, but I wear one, those people are better off than if it were reversed.
Right. If you go into a room and all six of you have the masks on,
gotcha.
Your chances of not getting it have gone up exponentially.
Okay.
Your chances of being saved from it have gone way up.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
So, yeah, so that's why it wouldn't have worked anyway, because not everyone was going to wear it anyway in the beginning.
Right.
That's why it would not have been an effective way to do it.
Well, it's still the notion.
It's when the you air, put, man.
When you notion, the notion still is for me in my head, and I know this not to be true, but the still what I have stuck in my head is, I put my mask on, so I'm going to be safe.
I got to put my mask on when I go into the store, and I'm going to make sure it's tight and everything. I'm not thinking about spreading the virus to anybody, but that's what it's supposed to be there for. It's I don't know. Whatever gets you to wear the mask, I guess. That's all that matters.
Let's get to Zoe's grilling tip of the day, shall we?
Oh.
Next.
Is it that time already?
It's that time.
Weekend. It's a big weekend.
Nice.
Yep. I've been thinking this one over.
Good.
Okay, we'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's raining up.
Oh, the crackling hot stove. Oh, that's what we're talking about. I saw a story that...
who's blowing up cellophane paper?
That sounds like the grill. That does.
No, that doesn't.
I don't know what that is.
Sure it does. A little grease hitting the grill.
Right.
Jaguars players are putting their cooking skills to the test as part of a team-building exercise.
Nice.
And Doug Marrone has challenged his players to have a virtual cooking competition as they, again, continue to stay apart and social distance. So they're cooking and having a cook-off. Right. I don't know how someone's able to judge, maybe just based on looks.
Right.
I don't know how you're virtually able to judge a cooking contest. But, Zoe, if you had to enter a cooking contest by grilling something, what is your award-winning grilled item?
Well, I have multiple things. First of all, I shoot a firework off to get the festivities going. So Alice Fireworks provides my fireworks, and that indicates to everybody in the neighborhood,
oh,
hey.
It's so friggin' shameless.
Zoe's party is starting. So I've told you guys before about the meat log. Okay, so now this here, this is 100% ground beef. Now, if you go to any, see right there, it says ground beef on it.
Yeah.
If you go to a regular store, what they're going to do is put it in a piece of crappy styrofoam, and they're going to cover it. Then one of your kids is going to come home, poke a hole in it, and that meat's going to get all brown. Meat doesn't brown right here. You take off right here whatever you need, and then you tie it back up. So right there. So I start with ground beef, and that's how I start my burgers. Now, if you really want to know what the winner is, look at this. Look at the size of this kibasi. Biggest schlong of kibasi you could ever find.
God, I miss Jack.
Right here. You know? You could go and you could get your Hillshire Polska kibasi on this and that. This thing's like 6 feet long. So what I do is I slice it up, but I slice it on angles, Hardy. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be your regular round ones. I want them on an angle.
Yeah, you got to get a miter saw out.
I put them in a tin pan. Cut up onions. Put them in there with garlic. Take a can of green beans, usually Bush's Greek beans. Pour that over it. Then a little brown sugar. And then about a cup of orange juice, and then you stir it all up. Cover it with tinfoil, put that baby on the grill.
Boy, you know what?
That's the first thing you put out.
I think you're messing up a perfectly good meat with all that crap.
Oh, really?
Peppers and onions.
Because when you get 16 porterhouses.
Peppers, onions, green beans, orange juice, what the hell?
Yeah, what are you doing?
So when this pandemic started, and you people told me you better get all the meat you can get.
No one told you that.
I bought 24 porterhouses, and they're down in my downstairs freezer.
And that's why you can't get steak today.
Yeah. I'm not getting steak today.
No, that's why the rest of us can't get steak today, because you went and bought 24 porterhouse steaks 2 months ago. Go ahead.
My actual favorites, Beetle, sweet and Italian spice sausage. You put these on the grill. You grill them up, and then you get some... And then you get some onions, you slice them real thin with peppers, and you put them in a pan with a little olive oil.
They almost liquefy. You slice it so thin.
And then you get the big boy. You can't go to the bread shop in the store and buy the sub-breads. You know how they have like six in a pack right there? You got to go to the baker because the baker has the best sub rolls to put these suckers on. So you put these things on.
These are sausages?
These are sausages.
Now you need those nice, short, the Pantadosi makes the nice short rolls. That's what you got
to
get.
Now you got to go to the baker. Which baker
which baker do you go to?
Me, I go to Big Y. I go to my local Big Y. My local Big Y in Franklin right there. I used to go to the one in Walpole. They opened up a brand nice new one there. So my boy Jason hangs on to some meat. I might do a ribeye this weekend. Depends. Depends what the weather looks like.
So what's the tip?
But we're having a party.
So where's the tip other than in order to make a good burger, you got to buy good ground beef?
Or start with six feet of sausage and just dump up. Take everything out of the cupboard and dump a bunch of crap on
everything
it.
Everything in your fridge, just dump
it in.
Here's
your tip. In a tinfoil tray.
Here's your tip because we don't have a lot of smart people listening to us. As 25% of people listening to us are brilliant. The other 75%, you see this? Frozen. What you don't want to do is turn your grill on and throw these suckers on frozen. These things got to sit out for about 4 hours, okay, on your counter.
The tip is to thaw the meats.
The meat has to thaw to where it's room temperature because the second you throw that meat on that grill, that's where you hear Jim's awful sound effect or that. That's the sizzle. You don't get any sizzle when you put this on. There. Yeah. Now. For all you steak people out there,
oh my God,
what I do,
oh, Jesus,
what I do is I get the squared butter. Okay, so you get the squared salted butter and you unwrap it.
You talking about like a stick of butter?
Yeah, a stick of butter, and you put it in a
bowl.
Well,
how else do you buy butter?
I actually like the one with the canola oil in the tub because it's easier to spread on toast. It doesn't rip the toast.
Oh, gross.
If you get regular butter and you butter toast, you tear the hell out of your toast.
No, you don't. You leave the butter in a butter dish on the counter.
Yeah, room temperature.
Nobody does that unless your grandmother does it, okay? Grandma.
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Got a really nice glass butter dish.
Disgusting. So here's the tip, though.
Says the guy who blows his nose into a T-shirt.
Yeah.
What?
My allergies are so freaking bad right now. So, here's what you do.
Uh-huh.
You soften the butter in a bowl. You chop up a ton of garlic. You get some thyme. You pull some thyme sprigs off like this, a little bit of dill, a little bit of cloves, and you throw them right there in that bowl, and you mix it up. Mix it up
this
nice
and
soft.
This is with the steak now?
No. This is
what
in the
are we
butter,
talking
in the
about?
Butter, in the butter, in the butter.
Yeah,
in
but this is for steak?
For steak?
We're getting there. So, you take that butter, and you put it on saran wrap. And you're going to like sushi roll it into a log and you put it back in your refrigerator. So when you have these steaks, when they're done, you take little dabs of that butter. You cut them about three and you put them on each steak and then you serve it. You watch that sucker melt. I am so freaking hungry right now.
Okay, now that one
is the best tasting.
That one
steak.
I don't mind as long as you're not doing anything crazy to the steak. Because for me, if you buy a good steak,
salt,
your
pepper.
Number one job is do not screw it up.
Salt, pepper,
and whatever your preferred method is. I'm not going to tell you how to cook your steak. If you're doing an iron skillet in the oven, oh, what you talking about? Now we're really talking.
Times.
But if you want to throw it on the grill, that's fine. Just. It's like having a good idea for a song or a movie. Your main job is to not screw it up. Don't screw up a nice steak. But a little bit of butter on top of it once it's already cooked.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
I fine. Think I offered this tip last year when you gave up the tip on the cooking of the sausages, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that is my grilling tip is before you grill them, parboil them is what you should do. With the sausage.
Yeah.
Give yourself like 10 to 15 minutes.
Yep.
You can boil them in water if you want, or if you want to boil them in beer. I find that to be an acceptable way of doing it, too. And as I said last year, this is a couple.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.